Well, hello, hello, guys, and we're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a facial plastic surgeon in Southern California in Pasadena. I specialize in faces, but today we are going to talk about other areas of the body, and I'm thrilled to interview Dr. Pamela Mehta. She's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon whose exceptional orthopedic skills are only exceeded by her desire to take such great care of her patients on a personal level. And she's been working a lot with stem cell growth factors, injecting stem cells into joints that are recovering. We're going to talk to her a little bit today about her job, what she does in terms of being a woman in surgery. Orthopedics is one of the hardest specialties, I think, to be a woman in surgery. And you have to kind of be a boss girl to survive the residency, if you ask me. It intimidated me, so we'll find out. But welcome to the podcast. Pamela, say hey to everybody.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, everyone. And I'm super excited to be here and talk to you about all of those things.
Yes. So what inspired you to go into orthopedic surgery?
That's a great question. I actually thought I was going to be a pediatrician or an OBGYN. And my first rotation when I was a medical student, when I was a third year medical student, was trauma surgery. And I was at USC County Hospital in LA, and we had a gunshot victim, and we took that patient immediately to the OR, and we did an X-lap where we opened his belly up to try to find out where that bullet was. And I just felt this rush of adrenaline, and I just loved that we fixed the patient's problem right away using our hands in surgery. And after that, I just was like, I have to be a surgeon. And after that, I basically explored all of the surgical subspecialties, and I really loved orthopedics. I thought it was great because you could do big open surgery as well as small arthroscopic microscopic surgery. And a lot of procedures can be done in the office, which I really enjoyed. And so that's what led me to do orthopedics. I also really liked that for the most part, the patients were healthy patients just wanting to get back to their lifestyle. So they didn't have a lot of other comorbidities and medical problems. And so I found that to be really satisfying also to get people back to their life, whatever that may be, if they're a high level athlete or they're a grandparent that just wants to take walks with their grandchildren, or a pediatric patient that, you know, fell off the monkey bars, just being an active kid and getting them back to their baseline life.
And what inspired you to make the name of your practice Resilience Orthopedics? Because does that have to do with stem cell growth factors, platelet-rich plasma, or the body regenerating itself?
Yeah, so it has two different meanings. Number one is exactly what you're talking about, is that the body is resilient and we can use your own body's healing potential to heal itself and make it resilient. And I also chose that name because I have encountered a lot of sort of aspects in orthopedic surgery where I've had to be resilient. You kind of touched on it being a hard field. It is a hard field, but also it's very male dominated. And
very.
So there's 4% of US orthopedic surgeons are women that are practicing. And as a woman, you face a lot of discrimination, and I think that, I've had to be resilient in a lot of those situations. And so I chose the name for both of those reasons.
I remember doing the orthopedic rotation, and it was just sort of very intimidating, where it's just like a jock all boys club, just sitting at the lunch table, even like you feel a little bit out of place as a petite little girl like I am. And I think that's the beginning of where the barriers are for entry to women, because it is such a male locker room environment all day long in the operating room, you know, and as well as rounding on patients, as well as sitting at the lunch table. So I hope that changes.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very intimidating because, as you know, when you're training with these people day in, day out, if you can't relate to them on a personal level, it makes it very difficult. And if they're always talking about jockey things, I know that's a little bit of a stereotype, but it is true. It's very hard to relate to them. And then the men feel also, quite honestly, to be intimidated to have a woman do their job because it is very physical. And so I think that a lot of people deter you from going into the field for that reason. But I don't think those are reasons at all. Anybody should shy away from orthopedics. It takes finesse to be able to do some of the more physical things. It doesn't take a lot of heavy weight or strength. And it's definitely a profession that I enjoy completely. And I think a lot of women can.
I think that women do have a perception, women medical students probably too have a perception that you do have to be really strong to do some of the bone, you know, the procedures you do on large hips and femurs and bones that are, you know, that takes some torque and some physical force. Like, so I think if you're a woman pre-med out there, what would your advice be? Like, you don't all have to go into orthopedics and be a hand surgeon because it's the delicate, precise work. You could do big joint work, right?
Absolutely. And you mentioned it. It takes a little bit of torque and finesse and just knowing how the bones work to be able to get them into position or get a joint back reduced. And a lot of it is not strength. It's just knowing the techniques to do it. And there is a little bit of, you know, strength involved or your body involved. And you can have assistance in the OR to help you with those things. The men have them too. It's not as if they're just doing it on their own. And I do general orthopedics, so I do big joint replacement surgeries, hips, knees, shoulders, as well as arthroscopic surgery. And, you know, I enjoy it all. I'm able to do it all. There's never been a procedure or I've never run into an issue where I couldn't do something because of my size. And, you know, I'm not a super petite woman, but I'm not. I'm definitely just an average, you know, average height, average weight type of woman. And I don't have... like I'm not a bodybuilder or anything like that. Like I don't fit that stereotype and I'm able to do all of those things. And I think patients really enjoy the perspective of a woman. And I often find that in my office setting is that a lot of patients select me because I am a woman.
Yeah, that's very true. I think women bring a certain kind of grace and dexterity into the operating room that sometimes male hands don't have. I always have a scrub tech who's a big jock, and we joke, we get along, but I always tell him to bring his big old sausage hands into the field, like sausage fingers. but do you have some words of wisdom or some wisecracking remarks for a woman who's in medicine training with a bunch of jocks and they say something totally inappropriate in the operating room or they make you feel weird? Or did you have a go-to, you know, funny remark that you'd snap back with? Because that's, you need that. Sometimes you have to go in fully loaded and ready.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. I think that for me, what worked more than having like a snapback remark is to just keep calm and cool and remain confident. Because I think the minute that you get defensive or shaken or emotional is they will feed off of that and continue. But if you just hold your ground and you're persistent, and you've studied just as hard as the next person, and you know the steps of the case just like any other medical student or resident, and you just keep plowing through, there's no way anyone will continue on with trying to make some kind of wisecrack remark. I mean, I've had people say to me, oh, how long do you plan to practice? Or will you practice after you have children? And I just say the same thing back. Well, how long do you plan to practice? And do you plan to have a family? So, you know, I think that just turning it back on them is I'm your equal and whatever I'm doing, you can do. And whatever life choices I'm making, I'm sure you've made also. So just trying to equalize that playing field, I think, helps the most.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes those remarks come from a place of kindness where they're just trying to relate to you. But sometimes they're also just like typical asshole remarks where, like, I'm sure we are both talking like war veterans because we survived, like, trained at USC County Hospital. And I know what orthopedics was like there. And I also trained at UCLA. And, you know, I think even in head and neck surgery, which is more of like gentleman's surgery, I think, and gentlewoman's surgery, that there is still a lot of jocking in the operating room, unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely. I think surgery in general is more male dominated, and the men that probably go in there have quite big egos, and so they have things to say. But I think, like you just said, I mean, it's just you standing your ground and showing them that you can, you know, do anything that they can do. I remember specifically, I was a resident, I was a junior resident, and I had a hip dislocation in the ER. And I couldn't get it in. And I called my senior resident. He sort of came in, rolled his eyes like he thought maybe, you know, I couldn't get it in because I'm a girl or small. And so he jumped up on that bed and he couldn't get it in either. And he was sweating and huffing and puffing. And I had a little smile on my face because I was like, I told you, it's not easy. We got to get him into the OR to do it.
Good.
So I think, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about joint injections with stem cell growth factors, PRP, and regenerative medicine.
Absolutely. So that has been a really interesting part of my practice. I do PRP injections as well as amniotic cell injections and a newer procedure. I don't know if you're familiar with lipogems, which is basically taking fat, purifying it, and also injecting it into joints and damaged tendons. Because that the potency of those cells is about 10 times that of PRP. But platelet-rich plasma is great because you get about 8 times the amount of platelets, growth factors, and cytokines that's in your regular blood. And you inject that right into the joint or that's damaged or a tendon that's damaged. And usually 3 to 6 months later, the patient definitely feels less pain, more mobility, less inflammation in those areas of the body. So it's been a great supplement to my practice in terms of people who are really looking for something that might be an alternative to surgery, or they're not ready for surgery yet, or they're just really looking for a more holistic way to heal themselves.
Are you harvesting your own PRP? Are you drawing the blood, spinning it? Are you using special collection tubes? I'm always curious because there's no written exact way to do it. Everybody's doing it different.
I do it 100% myself. So I draw their blood. I have a centrifuge machine in my office. I centrifuge it and I re-inject it back into the patient. So I do it all on my own. The same with the lipogems procedure. It's a procedure where we're basically liposuctioning the fat in the flanks or the abdomen, and then we purify it through a closed system that the lipogem manufacturers give us, and then we inject that into either tendon or joints as well. And I do that all myself as well. I don't send anything out. I do it in my office.
That's amazing. Do you joint injections, of course, with hyaluronic acid? Because we do.
Yes, absolutely. Do the I offer patients a wide variety. Cortisone is more of a quick fix, but a lot of patients it might be the right thing for them. I do hyaluronic acid. I've had great results with that as well. And then I'll discuss with them these sort of stem cell procedures as well.
And the hyaluronic acid, is that very similar to, I don't know if you're familiar with Juvederm or facial fillers, which is, of course, a hyaluronic gel. Is the one you use also quite a thick gel-like product that lasts a year as well?
Yes, it's viscous, it's thick, and usually you have to come in for a series of 2 to 3 injections within a few weeks of each other, and they last from anywhere from 6 months to over a year. So it's great, yeah.
I'm always jealous of how large your syringe sizes are versus our little bitty ones. We have like 1 mL for the face, and we really need like big 5 mL syringes. So one of these days,
absolutely,
the manufacturers will change, hopefully. Tell me a little bit about your morning routine as a mom. You have 3 kids. I have 4 kids. It's always crazy at our house.
How old are your kids?
My kids are a little older. They're in college already because I had.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I had twins in my chief year of residency, and then I had 2 more after that. And
oh my gosh.
You have a couple fun pictures on your Instagram with you super pregnant in the operating room. Tell me how that was, being pregnant, balancing it all.
Yeah, so I have a 5-year-old boy and a 4-year-old boy. They're 15 months apart. I had them in my second and third year of being an attending. And then I recently just had a baby girl. She's 12 weeks old today, actually. And she's been a blessing. And being pregnant in the OR, I actually love being in the OR pregnant. There's a sense of just feeling very powerful and a lot of adrenaline rushing through your body. I think I had a little harder time actually in the office, kind of getting up, standing up, walking around, sitting down again, and having to, you know, kind of, I was very breathless when I was pregnant. So all of that was difficult, but my morning routine is complete chaos. It's just getting the kids ready and out, fed, dressed, and out to school. And then myself over to my office. Before I had children, I would have, a 7 a.m. start time, like most of us surgeons do. But with young kids, I've adjusted that. So my start time's around 10 a.m., which feels very different. And as you probably know, there's delays in the OR, so that doesn't always mean 10 a.m. So it's a little bit of a balancing act. My husband's also a surgeon. He's a spine surgeon. So we have to definitely make sure that we're not in the OR on the same day. I pick up the slack for him. He picks up the slack for me. So we have to really kind of dig deep and help each other out. So it's a balancing act, but I really wouldn't have it any other way.
What are your words of wisdom and advice for women who want to be a pre-med, who want to go into the surgical field? Any you know, top advice that you'd give them?
Absolutely. You can design the life that you want. So don't let anyone tell you that you can't have a family or a life if you go into a surgical field. It definitely takes a lot of hard work in the beginning and during residency, and really for the rest of your life, but it is manageable, and you can definitely, you know, tailor your schedule to fit your needs and your family's needs. I recently, 3 years ago, opened my own practice, Resilience Orthopedics, which we talked about. And I did that because I wanted to not answer to anyone and to be able to make my schedule flexible enough so that I could be there for my children in the morning and I could go to all of their after school activities. And I have thrived both as a mom and as a surgeon. And, you know, I wouldn't say that my hours are the traditional hours. Like I said, I changed my start time from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. when I'm in the OR, but it works for me and it works for my husband. And you have to go into what you're passionate about. So, you know, if you're passionate about surgery, then you have to do it and you will make it work.
That is very true. I totally agree with that. I think it's very intimidating for women to want to even think about medicine because as it is, it's hard enough to find a mate in life by the time you're hopeful you can get married and find someone, whether a guy or a girl or whatever, by the age of 30. And then you really only have another 5 or 6 years of maximum fertility. And many women are having so many problems in residency with carrying babies and maintaining fertility and not having miscarriages and things. And it's such an unspoken story in medicine. Like, we put our bodies through a lot. We delay gratification and delay finding a spouse, and then we delay having children. So I want people who are pre-med, who are thinking about having a kid, to just go for it. Just go for it, because absolutely, the sooner the better. There is never a good time. You just
that
really
just
have to do
say
it.
Say that. There's never a good time. You think when you're in residency, the whole world is going to end if you have a child. You know, how is everybody else going to handle this or manage this? But you honestly have to kind of look out for yourself, because you're right. There are only a certain amount of years that you have that fertility. For my last child, I actually had to do IVF because I was quite a bit older and I really just didn't feel like my family was complete. And I remember thinking when I was an attending, oh gosh, you know, just one more year, I'll do it then, you know, let me get this under my belt. But you got to just do it and kind of look out for yourself.
Very true. But I had my fourth child. I was 37, and they're like, the OB-GYN was like, okay, well, you have advanced maternal age, so you're high risk. And I was like, what? Take that back. That was rude.
Yeah, they treat you like you're geriatric after 35.
I know. So all you people out there listening, get busy. Get time to get busy. Did you get melasma or any skin changes with your pregnancies?
I did. Yeah. I got more freckles. I'm still kind of dealing with some of that because my baby's only 12 weeks old. I did have a lot of skin changes. And as you get older, I feel like it takes a larger toll on the body as well.
Very true. Well, you definitely have to come visit me when you're back in LA. She's doing this podcast all the way from Hawaii. So aloha. But your practice is in LA, and I'd love to have you come to the office anytime. You have to definitely try my vitamin C serum. And we have really great brightening pads for melasma. For people who've had pregnancy and hormone-related pigmentation, they have hydroquinone, kojic acid, Emblica, all the really nice lighteners that are beneficial.
Oh, I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
Well, tell us where our listeners can find you if they want to be a really amazing orthopedic surgeon one day and they want to follow someone inspirational. You can check out Pamela Mehta. Where is your Instagram?
It's at dr.pamelamehta.
And do you have a website or another?
I do,
spot?
Yes, I do. It's www.resilienceorthopedics.com, and you can find me there. My practice is actually in San Jose. I'm from LA. That's where I trained at USC, and then I did my residency training at Columbia. But I'm in the Bay Area, so I see patients up there. And absolutely, if anybody has any questions, it's a pre-med or a resident or thinking about a field of orthopedics, I would, you know, love to help with that.
I think we need to empower more women to go into these fields that are traditionally male-dominated, like neurosurgery, orthopedics, urology, because really, like, we have so much to offer as women and as surgeons, and if we don't even put our foot in the door, like, if you're not at the table, you're not part of the conversation, so.
Absolutely, and so many patients are so grateful to have a female surgeon, like we were talking about before, and I just think that we're a very necessary part of those fields in the workforce, so we can't disappear.
That's it for now, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and I want to remind you guys to definitely take the time to go and find a woman physician. A woman surgeon, a woman physician, I really think that we bring different features into the doctor-patient relationship than men do. And I'm a little biased. There you go. You can find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. And that's where you'll find my amazing bleaching pads, as well as the vitamin C serum, treatments for melasma, lots of great blog posts. I hope you guys will follow us on Instagram and tune in every Tuesday for a podcast. Next one's coming up soon. That's it for now. Take care, Pamela.
Thank you so much.
Stay beautiful.